Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I'm excited to say that I just came out of a two-day. I've been advertising it to you now for weeks, and I just got done completing it. And I have to tell you this, that even at my later stages in life, as elderly as I am now, I still really enjoy teaching. And it's really exciting to see people when their eyes open for the first time, when they have that aha moment, the epiphany that, you know, I can retire. And this weekend was really great. A guy had three houses that he had made over $150,000. Now, over $100,000 on each one of them. In totality, he had made over $400,000. Now, on the multifamily side, we had a guy that had done a deal about 11 years ago, and he had already gone from a value of $1,800,000 for the apartment to a value of $5,600,000, which was astronomical, right? Guy had made a very large amount of money, but he was underestimating the value of his property, and I showed him how he very easily could change the way he evaluated it and very easily make it worth, believe it or not, $11.2 million. And, you know, he said it was worth 5.6. I told him I'd give him $6 million right here cash. I'll write you a check for it. And then he wouldn't do it. So he obviously realized it was worth more than $6 million. But after I showed him how to reevaluate it, you know, being worth $11.2 million, he made like $5 million. So that was a good case study, right? I made $5 million just by coming up here and learning how to do this stuff. So, guys, this is an incredibly powerful material. And we taught it all weekend, and all along the way, people were having epiphanies as to, wow, I didn't realize that. But what is sad is that I had a lady that was there that went and bought three brand new houses, paid in full for brand new houses, which means, okay, they're brand new, you paid full price, there's zero equity. This guy made $400,000 in equity, this guy over here made $700,000 to $1 million in equity. And this lady bought three houses at full market price. She had $1 million into them, and she had zero equity and zero cash flow. She paid cash for them, she had no leverage, and she still wasn't making any cash flow in the deals, other than the fact that she had no mortgage. If she had a mortgage on these houses, she'd be losing money. So that means that her rate of return on investment is next to zero. I mean, it's 3-4% at the most. You could have got that in a savings account. And yet she was there with her friends. Her friends both decided to get started buying rental houses, but she just couldn't overcome that. She had it so ingrained into her head that paying cash and buying brand new stuff was the way to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is really sad to see that someone can't get through it, right? But as you go along, there was so many other people that did get it. And we're excited. And there were even some people who were in the middle of deals that were pretty good that I enjoyed speaking to them. In fact, when you go to something like this, it's fun because you get to see old friends, and it's fun because you get to make new friends and see people start their career and getting started. It's also fun to see people that have already done it. There were people from all over the country, by the way. We had people in from Hawaii. We had people in from New York. They're all over the place. And it was very interesting that people from all over the country are interested in doing this, not just people, you know, where I live. There's deals everywhere. Now, you don't do deals everywhere. Don't let me mischaracterize what I'm saying here. There are people all over the place that want to do good deals. There's not good deals in every place. In fact, I'm going to bring up a point. I had an email here that I'm going to reiterate even further in the next segment when we get to it. But the lady asked, should I buy real estate in New York, upper New York State? And I'm going to go into this in the next segment in detail, but I will just start here and touch on it and say that, look, there are places where the laws and the states and the politics are friendly to people doing business. And then there are states where the laws and the theories and the politics are against people doing business, where they look at people that are hardworking Americans creating businesses and see them as the enemy, as the greedy proletariat enemy. And the reality is, it's just the opposite. These are the people willing to work, willing to invest, risk their investment capital to make America work. And they're being chastised in these states. So when we come back from the second segment, I'm going to talk to you about what's going to happen, because there is a very clear insight as to what is happening and what it will lead to. You're not going to want to miss this when we come back, because this is going to be a very powerful discussion about what's happening with the demographics of the United States and what's happening with the wealth of the United States and what's happening to the people. And so when we come back, we'll cover that, but it's such a long discussion. I want the whole segment for it, or at least I work into a larger segment of time than just a minute or two left. So having said that, let's get back on this thing here. People are now, the people that I touched this weekend, are now going to start building wealth themselves. People that forever thought they'd have to work to 65, 75, 80 years of age are now going to retire in some shorter period of time. And we can say anywhere from 2 to 7 years seems to be the span of people doing this stuff. And to see that people got started, that's the most important thing. To see that a group of people got started this weekend made it worth me coming out of my, whatever you call it, retirement, since I've been retired since I'm 34, but my stepping away from the educational part of what I do here, to get back into it again was important to me at this point. Because as I brought up in the multifamily part of the deal, and I brought in this commercial real estate broker, the market has changed. I've been telling you for a year now, maybe 2 years, that, hey, watch out, the market's changing. When the interest rates start going back up, the prices started coming back down. Across the country, commercial real estate on apartments is down 32% in price. Some areas is down as much as 40%. Some commercial real estate, as in buildings, commercial office buildings, are down 60, 70%, 80%. In California, they're down 80% because people don't want to live in those cities anymore. They don't want to go to work in downtown San Francisco anymore. They don't want to go to work in LA anymore. The world is changing. So since I don't like politics and I really don't fall on any one direct side of politics, it's always painful for me to do political stuff. Not that I don't have opinions, not that I don't think that some people are just dumb as a rock out there. Political's difficult, but this one's, I think, really interesting, and I'd like to share it with you. Because if I could get you to read a book, right? The book is called Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, and it's about 800 pages, so I have read it, and I have also listened to it on audiobook. I think the audiobook was easier. Buy the whole audiobook, stick it in your car, play, you know, whatever you can each time you get in the car and follow along. It got so interesting, though, I couldn't keep doing that. I had to just, one time I sat down, my wife and I just sat and we listened to it. It just was that enthralling. So what happens? This book was written back in the 50s when Russia was becoming communist and she was living in Russia. And she talks about the transference of the society from a I work, I deserve, and I obtain society to a he who has should give to he who has not, and no longer from those who consume to those who produce. It became those who produce now give away everything they have to those who consume. And that's basically socialism. And then it leads to communism, because once nobody owns anything, once the Democrats have facilitated taking all of our money away from us, they then take all of our power away from us. And that's what they've done to Donald Trump. If you think about this, they took his money. Why are they taking his money? Because taking his money is taking his power. He did nothing wrong. Everybody said, every legal scholar out there, except these little gremlin people in New York who are just insane with power, said that he did something illegal. Nobody, the banks he borrowed the money from didn't say he did something illegal. Okay, so I won't get off on that. But what I will say to you is, when this lady asks, should I buy something in New York? The point is, no one should own a business in New York. Everybody should get out. Everybody should get out of California. Now, I know some people live in California simply because they love how beautiful it is. I get that. But man, I wouldn't own a business in New York. Just wouldn't do it. Because they have no sense. First of all, they hate business people across the board. Secondly, they hate people that have power across the board other than Democrats. And so this book, what Ayn Rand writes about, is how slowly but surely the Democrats, and I'm calling them Democrats so you'll understand that they didn't use the word Democrat in the book. They used a group of people that, in the definition, the group of people were the Democrats, right? They constantly kept educating people to believe that you had no right to anything you owned, that everything belonged to the state, and that everything belonged to the concept that no longer should we think of me, we should always think of we. We is the only thing to think of. To think of yourself is almost criminal. In fact, it was criminal. It was anti-moral. It was immoral to think of yourself. Everything you earn, you should want to give away. And they brainwash people into this thought process. So when you look at the Democrats and you think about what they're doing right now, I'm just using this as an example. Right now, they're crushing people for saying that these are illegal aliens coming across the border. They're saying they're undocumented workers. Now, how can they be undocumented workers? Well, what Biden did and the Democrats did, and by the way, I don't think Biden actually runs the White House, to be honest with you. He's just too feeble. Somebody else is making all these calls. So the bottom line is that they're telling you that these people have the right to asylum. So they're here. All these illegals are here waiting for asylum, yet we know that none of them will ever go back to court for asylum. Everybody knows that. Even the police know that. It's just a giant sham because the Democrats feel they're going to get voters out of this. All right. And so they probably will. Although I talked to a lot of immigrants that came to my seminar and they say, look, these people, the Democrats don't get it. Once these people get in here and get some businesses and some companies and some making some money, they're not going to want to be Democrats either. The Democrats don't get that. It's the people raised in this country that are living off the welfare state that are the ones that are going to vote Democrat. And even then, they're going to stop voting Democrat if they keep bringing these illegals in to where there's the welfare state's getting divided up by more and more and more and more people. So the Democrats are going to have to crush harder and harder and harder on the people that actually do produce something. Now, here is an interesting point about what I'm about to say, or what she said, and I'm just covering it, and that's this. She never created a good or bad scenario. You're not a good person, a bad person, a right person, a wrong person. She was very careful to talk about what was really going on. And what happened in the book, which is so bizarre, is that the smart people, the very smart, the top of the genius chain started disappearing. They're just gone. One day they were gone and they'd wonder what happened to them. And then after the genius people left, the pillars of business society, the top business owners in the country started just disappearing because they would take their business away from them. They would turn it into a public entity run by government officials. And so these big top business people started just disappearing. First, when they would take their business, and later, even before they would take their business, they were sucking their business dry. I mean, the owners figured it out. After the government started taking them down and stealing their businesses from them, and the first ones they stole were the railroads because they needed transportation. The airlines is something they'll go after. They're going to take away your transportation so you can't get around. Your cars, they'll get rid of gas cars and you'll have to use electric, and they can turn those on or turn those off. You can't stop them. So they're going to take away, and that's what these guys did. They took away the transportation systems from people. And so the really smart business people just started disappearing. Gone. Poof. But then what happened is, and so if you think about these states, big businesses are going to move out of these blue states. That's all there is to it. Unless the guy running it is in bed with the politicians, which is happening in many of these situations. But what happens is eventually all these business people have gone and taken the businesses with them, and they've left the businesses behind to be run by people who have no idea what they're doing. So all these businesses start collapsing. And when we come back from break, we'll discuss what happens next.
Del Walmsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
Well, we purchased it for $8.275, and it's worth $19 million now. so.
Wait, whoa. That is incredible. I could see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at LifestylesUnlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I'm just sort of sharing with you a book called Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, written way back in Russia when Russia was being taken over by communists. And the bottom line is that we gotten to the point now where the people are going to leave the states, the democratic states here in the United States first, are going to be the big businesses that aren't in bed with the Democrats. Eventually, by the way, those big businesses that are in bed with the Democrats will eventually leave also, because the more and more and more that people leave these states, the Democrats have to tax somebody. And so they're going to put a larger and larger and larger tax burden on the businesses and the people that stay behind, including as they start to take on all these illegal aliens and give them the money to survive. I mean, they're giving them, I think I heard, $2,000 a month each. I mean, how can we support that, right? And so, especially if everybody in your state leaves, go, man, I can't keep giving you, 50, 60% of my total income. And that's what taxes are in those states. You've got earned income taxes. You've got Social Security and Medicare taxes. So if earned income taxes anywhere from 15 to 42%, you've got Social Security that's 15.2%, right? People don't seem to remember that one's in there. And then you've got state income tax. It's anywhere from like 8 to 12%. I mean, come on, guys. That's 60, 70% of your pay. Well, what is it? Let's just say you're in top tax bracket. 42%, 15% would be 57%. And then another 12% would be 69%. 70% of your income is being taken from you. Now, that can't go down. If people are leaving, there's less and less people to tax to try to support this social communist network. They're going to have to just keep hitting the people there harder. So what happens next? If the people at the very top have the power to avoid taxation, which they will, you talk about Google's, you talk about Microsoft, those guys are not going to get taxed. It doesn't affect them. They're billionaires. You can tax them whatever you want. It won't hurt them. So who is going to get hammered next? Well, once the successful business people leave, and pull their businesses out, like you can see in downtown San Francisco, where Walgreens is gone and every business almost is gone in these places now. It's unbelievable. As all those businesses go away, other businesses will leave because there's no support businesses. And now the people that make things work, the engineers in our society, who right now are pretty much insulated from the top to the bottom, they are now the top, and they will start getting taxed to death. And they will start realizing they're the people doing all the work and no one else is. And in Atlas Shrugged, when the engineers start disappearing, my gosh, look what happens. The trains stop running. I saw an article yesterday, or 2 days ago, I think it was, where they showed a plane taking off and the wheels falling off of the plane. A couple weeks ago, there was a plane where the door blew off the plane. Guys, this is a preview of what our world is going to look like once the engineers move away from the democratic states. Everything that's maintained, even just think about maintenance on an airplane or maintenance on a train system, all the maintenance and repair is going to go away. The fires are going to be worse because there's no one to fight them. The electrical systems are going to break down because there's no one to fix them. Then the fact that they're trying to push everything to electric power when there's not even enough electric power for, like, the state of California to even operate now. They are going to destroy the place where everybody wants out. But whatever it is, wherever these other people go, they're eventually not going to let the other people in. Somewhere along the line, they're going to, you know what? We don't want your thinking here, and here's how they solve the thinking. This is an Atlas Shrugged. I'm not making this up. This is what's in the book. Where they go and disappear to, they start their own country. But the rules are this. You get credits for everything you do, but you cannot get anything without credits. In other words, I couldn't even give you something for free if I wanted to. That would be against the law. You have to trade me credits for my efforts. So as I do whatever I do, it doesn't matter what you do, whatever you do, you earn credits towards. And then you trade those credits for what everybody else does. So if you don't do anything, you don't get any credits. Now, you imagine that, what that would do for our society where people had to actually get up and work. And now you understand, there is always a social safety net for the worst off of everybody. That doesn't go away, that social safety net is become a blanket for anybody and everybody who just wants to claim that they can't work. The concept of not working is so un-American. It's so unrealistic. It's so unworldly. People have to do something to produce something to deserve to live in this world. You go, well, Dell, what do you do? Kill them all off? No. I'm going to get them to work. See, the point is that once you stop letting them do nothing, then they will do something. It doesn't matter what they do, sweep streets. I mean, that's what Ann Rand put in this, everybody has something to do. It doesn't matter what you do, you just got to do something and earn credits and you survive. That's just the way it is. Now, going forward here, if you think about this, if the real estate in those areas, if people are leaving, what does that do to the value of the real estate? It makes it go down. What does it do to the value of real estate if you burn up the site or a whole part of the county? It makes it go down. What happens if there's no water? What happens to the value of real estate then? It goes down. What happens if there's no electricity? You're living in LA and there's no electricity. How long could you put up with that before the smart people, the educated people, the productive people would move out? Say, Dell, well, some of the people couldn't move out. It wouldn't be fair. Well, you should think about that before you destroy the infrastructure. What is destroying the infrastructure? Overtaxing it or not being able to maintain it or putting your values on things like illegal aliens instead of the infrastructure? They quite simply could fix their infrastructure instead of spending the money on reparations or money on taking care of illegal aliens in sanctuary cities. It's all just a decision, and their decision is destroying their state. So I'm telling you, this is what Ayn Rand said. Eventually, those areas collapse, and those people out there beg to get back with the people that actually produce stuff. So is it happening now? Small degree. It's nowhere near as bad as Ann predicts it to be. But I'll tell you what, it's a scary, scary thought. And sometimes I wonder, you know, am I lucky that I'm already almost 70 years old? You know, am I lucky that it's going to take a few years for the Democrats to completely destroy the country? You know, maybe I am lucky. Maybe I've lived during the best times of the country. Maybe Donald Trump's never going to be able to make America great again. Maybe it won't happen, right? Maybe it won't happen. It's a shame. But I'll tell you, if they don't make America great again, then America is going to split apart at the seams. And I'm not saying I want there to be a civil war. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what Ayn Rand figured out. This is what happens. And in Russia, people just left. They left Russia. And don't think there's not some place these rich, smart, successful people can't go. There's enough money in this country to go buy other countries and buy the whole country and turn it into a place where you can't do the stuff the Democrats are doing to the country. And when they do that, then all of the military stuff that's going to be built is going to be built there. All the intellectual knowledge and capacity is going to be there. And America is going to flounder. It's going to become a giant wasteland like Russia, like China, with massive numbers of people, but with no infrastructure. But these people will leave, I guarantee you. I'm going to finish up the show with some emails here. The first one is from someone that was with me this weekend. He said, great show this weekend. Enjoyed it very much. I'm currently a challenge member. At the end, I could not stay for a question. I'm hoping you can give me some guides moving forward with my situation. Currently, I have two rental properties with conservatively $382,000 in equity combined. Going forward, it's clear I need to move that money. That's what we talk about, guys, at this 2 days, that you've got to keep taking the money, the debt equity out of your properties and moving it forward to grow. After upgrading to a preferred membership and all the taxes you'd pay, I have to pay, would you say it's better time to move to passive or move into 1031 exchange position, upgrade to 10 houses? Well, let's start with the 10 house situation. The 10 house situation is a great idea. Get out of those three, 1031 to 10. I just set a guy up to make about $500,000 to do that. And then what he's going to do is once he has the 10 houses, he's going to refinance, pull the money out, and go into passive deals. Why? Well, for the last 18 months to 2 years, the deals, the prices have been too high, and they're not good deals. Now, the prices are back down 30 to 40%, and the deals are good, quality deals again. And so we're starting to see it happen. I had Sean from Colliers come in. He said they're averaging 22 applications a week from Lifestyles members alone. And that's only one mortgage company. We work with three mortgage companies, three national mortgage companies. So, I mean, it's happening. The deals are starting to show up. The deals are getting purchased. Also, 2 years ago, you were only able to get 50% financing, 55% financing. If you had a great deal, you'd get 60 or 65% financing. I told everybody to stop doing that, that you need to get at least 70% financing or better, or you don't have enough leverage to make the deal make money. And Sean laughingly told everybody at the seminar, I have disrupted the brokerage world all across the country. They are upset that I'm telling people you got to get 70%, but they're now doing it. In other words, the prices are coming down low enough that you can get 70% financing again. In fact, he said he did two deals just last week at 72% financing. Now, what is ideal? For years, 80% was the number. That's where we want to be, which means the prices are so low, they'll lend you 80% of the money. Now, that's really good leverage, right? Then you can come up with the other 20 yourself or get partners to put up the 20%. 72 is acceptable at this point. And so people are really starting to get back in these deals. I predict it's going to get back to 80%. I ask him, can we get 80% financing if the price is right? He says, yes. And so then people said, what does your crystal ball look like? He said, well, my crystal ball says the deals are going to increase and the prices are going to go down even further. That's what he thought to be true. And so it looks like it's the time that you can start thinking about changing over. So in your particular case, Luke, I might go ahead and do the 10 deals, the 10 houses, because you can make $500,000 on that transaction, right? Then after you made the $500,000, let's refinance out that equity, that $300,000 or $400,000 equity you now have. And then you go get these passive deals. I think it's time. I'm looking at deals again passively, which I haven't done for a while. So I think it's time for us to get involved. Let's see what the next one says here. Oh, okay. Here's a guy that was just an email came out. Somebody, one of the partners was sent this email to me. And this guy is saying, made on two deals that he was reporting on, this is one of the leads, that he'd made between $8 million and $24 million on these two deals. And what was interesting is that the passive investor was complaining that the guy is such a ding-dong that he wasn't getting his distributions out to his partners on time. He's always said, and this is just a case of the lazy syndrome. I mean, the guy's got deals. The deals are making money. In fact, they made quite a bit of money, and he's even bragging in his reports how much money he's made, and yet he wouldn't get that out. I mean, all I can tell you is that there's some people that are just lazy, and they don't want to do the reports, and they don't want to send out their distributions because it takes time and effort to do so. But the bottom line is I'd rather be in one where the guy's late on the distributions than to not have distributions at all. And I'd also be happier to be in one that has not only distributions, but massive profits between 8 and 24 million. And by the way, how can it be between 8 and 24 million? What he's doing, he's taking the normal cap rate, which would be about 6%, is where he thinks this stuff should be. And that's a $24 million profit. He said, but if I take it all the way down to a 10 cap rate, which is ridiculous, it's not going to be a 10 cap rate. It's only 8 million. So realistically, instead of 24 million, let's say 20 million. Quite a profitable deal. Very profitable. The last one here is interesting. It says, I'm 61 years old, and I own my home free and clear, but I have no money. And I'd like to get the money out of my home, but I have no job, and I've had no job since they closed down my company from COVID, and because the company wasn't doing something it was supposed to do, whatever. So the first part of his statement here is strange to me, that you're 61 years old, you're still old enough to work, you have no money. By the way, he used his savings up to live off of, right? And I would not have allowed myself to eat up all my savings. If I lost my job for COVID, I would have gone and get something else because, well, they put that company out of business. That doesn't matter. You can do anything, but you've got to create enough income to survive. You've got to produce something to survive and be worth something. And more interestingly enough is that if you did have a job and you did have income, you could go refinance the money out of that house and have plenty of money to go do whatever you want to do. He said, however, he doesn't want to sell the house, but because he doesn't have a job, doesn't have any income, he really most likely should sell the house, because if he put a mortgage on it, he couldn't pay the payments anyway, right? So he thinks that what he can do is pull the money out and then go flip houses. This guy, if he pulls that money out, by the way, you can use a hard money lender or you can use a loan that is asset-based loan. They'll lend you 50% of whatever the property's worth, hoping you won't pay them back so they can take the property from you. So he could get the money. But if he gets the money and goes out there and tries to flip houses and doesn't know how to do it or won't work at it quickly and diligently, which I am fearful of because he hasn't worked since 2020 when COVID took away his job. My friend, I think you need to rethink your life. The rest of you out there, rethink this. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.